Hello and welcome to Put an H Minisode. We are back in Andy's wrestling corner.
Yes.
Back where the wrestling regression is happening.
Mm-hmm, right before your eyes.
And we are talking, is it Unforgiven 2001?
That's right. WWF Unforgiven.
I did like the poster.
I was going to say the poster was mental. Yeah. It was like three faces of Austin in one. Like.
They're all just insane. Like,
losing the plot, which is very much the theme of this.
How have you been, Andy?
I've been good. Come on. Out with it. You're not going to get me this time. Just do the thing so I can really tell you how I've been.
I would like to know how you've been.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in that case, I had a very busy day in work today. I had no lunch yesterday. It's been a very busy week in work.
Why didn't you have lunch yesterday?
Didn't have time. Too much to do.
No time for lunch?
I know, right? It was mental. Insane. There was one training course going on, and there was loads of technical issues that I had to keep popping in for and all that sort of stuff. And then I had to... the next day, I had to set up for the recording studio because there's someone coming in.
I'll tell you what I had for lunch
yesterday. Excuse
me
for a second there, Terry.
I'll tell you what I had for lunch yesterday.
What'd you have for lunch?
A bowl of chips and two slices of bread. Put them together, you make a chip buddy.
Put your hands together. A bowl of ones?
I treated myself. It was great.
That's a good lunch.
Now, the bread had to be... Now, this is the thing, Andy.
Go on.
It was Brennan's Be Good wholemeal bread.
Right.
Only 60 calories per slice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that thin bread?
It's thin.
A chip? You know, I would have thought you'd want a thick pan.
So you got enough carb. You've got your two layers of carb and then a filling of carb in there. So, you know, it's all good.
I would feel like a thin slice would sort of eventually mush into your fingerprints.
Look, Andy, I'll be honest with you here. I've been on this... calorie counting kick last while, and it's been working for me.
Yeah, you look great.
I recently lost a stone.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
Jesus.
So but in order to keep eating the stuff I like, I have to make compromises, shall we say?
Okay.
So I can't eat thick white bread anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know. Well,
you know what? If you can still have bread. Thin bread.
That's when I found out that I could have two slices of bread for 120 calories. Well, that was it. I can still have sandwiches.
Sandwiches are such a big part of my diet. Sort of breaded thing, like I think in most meals.
I've tried doing all these like ketogenic stuff, you know, keto was the last one I tried, and it works.
How was that?
It's tough. I did it a couple of times, and it works for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then I just like start getting chest pains from all the bacon and meat I've been eating.
Ooh, I like the sound of this one. But you can't have any carbs.
No, that's the thing. You can't.
I live on carbs.
That's it. Like, so I remember even at Christmas one time the lads were all out for dinner, and it was like everybody ordered burgers and chips and stuff, and I ordered like.
A salad.
I like chicken wings, no sauce. And I couldn't even get the chips with it. So I'm looking at it. And I couldn't even drink beer. I was drinking like whiskey and Diet 7-Up, which is fine. But like over the course of a 7-hour session,
it's not ideal.
Like, I was looking at everybody's pints. Like, those pints are fucking delish. I couldn't
that
have
looks
them.
Fucking delish, man. Well, you know what? You're a better man than me, Terry.
I'm
spiraling out of control. That's all I'll say.
Corona was the start of the corona. The lockdown was, you know, I was just wallowing. I was wallowing,
right.
And I decided, you know, after I think it was the end of May, start of June, it was like, you know what, like, gonna be going back to work.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna buy myself some new clothes to go into work.
Nice.
And I got a new attitude.
Nice.
You know?
And. Is that still going?
Yeah, well, you know, work is work, but, you know.
Work is work.
Yeah, it sure is.
See, I've been on the opposite. I was absolutely loving lockdown, and I've been wallowing since I've had to go back to work, to be honest. But we're doing a thing now where we're like, we have the recording studio all set up, and the first person's coming in tomorrow to record, and just the amount of figuring out and back and forth and just like came around the long way.
Yes, sir.
Go on. Not worth it. Not worth it. That's so difficult. Why are they so difficult to open?
I think it's because I had it in the fridge for a while.
Ooh. Listen, I was supposed to bring me Coors Light home with me from your gaff. Faye left them for me.
My child has been loving them. She's been crawling around the kitchen, grabbing onto a can of Coors Light.
There we go.
I'm disgusted with her. She's getting off on the wrong foot. She'll be drinking a real beer.
Like? What have you got there?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Thank you for asking, Andy.
Anything to move this along?
I am drinking a Lineman Independent Microbrewery. I'm drinking their Zephyr West Coast IPA.
Okay. Means nothing to me. How is the taste?
Well, hold on. Have a look at it there. How do you like the look of that?
I don't, to be honest, Terry. It's not my bag.
So clear looking.
Beer is not really my bag. Come on. You were making the face before it even hit your tongue.
That's good. That's good, Andy.
Is it?
Ben Johnson good.
Listen.
Yeah, it was good to see you anyway.
It was great.
Face to face, yeah?
Yes, for the first time I realized it was the first time I'd seen Faye face to face since
the baby.
Before the baby even.
Wow.
It was great. It was a good night.
Absolutely.
I won. Let's just snip that in the bud there. I won. You can shake your head all you want, Terry. I won. I'm only annoyed that there wasn't a forfeit.
I tell you what, though, if we count those singles games that we played,
puts you level, I guess.
Old T-Bone Jones won the singles round, so you know.
Okay, yeah. You won 2-0.
Yeah, hey man,
it's not like 8-6 or whatever like I won. A proper, you know, that's one thing I wanted to.
That's what I think about you. You're fucking shite.
I was gonna ask you know the way in like America, in American sports like the NBA, they've got like their
7 game series.
Yeah, would you like to see that in football?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I was thinking that'd be a very good idea, and there could be no real complaints.
See, the thing is with that 7 though games. The thing is with that, it's such a, they do it in such a quick turnaround. I don't think you can get it like that in football.
Yeah, it would have to be like every week or something.
Like they do like a 7-game series over the course of like 2 weeks or something.
Right. Okay.
You know, like you couldn't get that with football.
I suppose.
I don't know why actually, but you just can't
apparently.
The guys in the basketball court seem to be pretty much running around helter skelter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I was in the shop yesterday, and I was thinking I have to tell Terry this story. I was sent to get womanly things. As we've all had to do at various points. I was getting whatever. I just go for the one with the highest number, and I just say right, that's probably the right one. So I'm picking that up. What are you looking at?
I need you to elaborate there, pal.
The highest number. So, I don't know what it is.
I don't
strength,
know what that is.
Numbers? Absorbency? What? I don't know.
I don't know.
I've just been
told to get the yellow one or whatever.
Yeah, they never have the one that I'm told to get, so I just have to. I haven't been told off about it in 16 years, so I think I'm.
Yeah, you tried as best it are, Andy.
But when I was reaching down for one, there was this kid right beside me. He's like 15. He's like, "These good ones, Artie?" Like the tap, whatever it was that I was picking up, and I was like, and I was like, "Oh yeah, they're the best." He's like, "I'm having a bit of a heavy flow day myself." Like this kid, I was like,
a boy.
He was like 15 or something. And the thing is, I forgot to mention, before I walked into the shop, there was like there was this bike parked outside with like a doll's head on the front of it and like this thing sticking out of the doll's eye and all this like
this kid is just kind of Sid from Toy Story like.
He kind of looked a bit like him actually, and the whole it was just like he's like, I'm having a heavy flow down, like, all right, and he's just talking,
you didn't hear me, pal, I'm having a heavy flow down.
Give me your money.
He's like Muller. We have Robert Lewandowski. Huh? Lewandowski.
I didn't actually see the clip. I just heard what he said.
It's the clip where he's like, he's saying it to the press and nobody reacts. He's like, huh? Lewandowski? Like, he's great. Golski. That's what the kid is like to you. He's like, I'm having heavy a heavy flow day. Hello.
And so he's like, I don't know if you noticed the bike outside there. And I was like, yeah. But this is all in the queue, like just waiting to get served. He's like, and I was like, I spent 2 hours working on it. I was like, oh yeah, what's on it? He's like,
I can tell.
He's like, toothpaste, carrots, lettuce, and all this sort of stuff. Like just naming foods. Like there wasn't any of that on it. And then I'm like, okay. And I just turned around. He's like, you couldn't get us a bottle of vodka, could you? He's like, no. He's like, what if I make it worth your while? He takes out like out of his pocket like just like a wrapped tampon. Like he had this already. Like, and I was I just happened to be getting that sort of thing, and he's like, he just whips it out and is like no, you're fine. I'm like, hang on to that for yourself. He's like, two tampons. I was like, get me out of this shop. Like,
and I like the sound of this kid, I have to say.
And like, there was something like, you know, there was nothing threatening about him. He was just like some kid, yeah, or whatever.
That's the kind of comedy that I would be doing when, like, he's clearly entertaining himself.
I was thinking it kind of reminded me of when I used to hang out like Temple Bar, and like that's sort of how people would go about that, you know, like be weird, or you know, yeah, that absolutely sort of thing.
Nothing wrong with being a bit weird every now and again.
I was just laughing my ass off on the way home, yeah. But then he was cycling like practically beside me as I was gone. I was like, I live pretty close to the shop. I was like, I don't want this guy to see where I live. Like, luckily he turned at the last second. I was like, whew. But
like, see you on hell. Throws the tampons at the car.
Oh god. Anyway, have you been up to much else now?
No. Should we get into this? This was the minisode.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to do what's been happening.
I wanted yeah, to set up my can gag, okay?
And I sort of put the kibosh on it early, I guess.
Yeah. Listen. Well, fuck me, huh?
I guess, fuck me, huh? So, Unforgiven, Terry.
2001. Now, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about before we got into it. It's very much Stone Cold Steve Austin is the theme.
Very much.
And we were talking about Stone Cold being a heel.
Yeah, and what a heel. Now,
yeah, but what I didn't like about him leading into this one was that he lost his heel persona in my eyes when he was like the sniveling, crying heel.
Right.
I did not like that because that's not the Stone Cold.
No,
that's not the vicious, crazy Stone Cold.
But he's just so I kind
unstable,
of view that
I as, get it. Yeah, and the three faces, I know it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Stone Cold is going to show up?
It was very un-Stone Cold, like, to have him crying. Yeah. This is when a week before Kurt Angle was going to throw him off a bridge.
Just even having Kurt Angle being like, "You're pathetic," I was like, like, no.
Do you feel bad for Austin?
I just felt bad for, like, this is the path that they ended up going at this point, because I was liking it so much, and we didn't talk about it last time. I'm loving the little things he's doing to try and stay a heel, in that he changed his music.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when he was a heel, before he was in the Alliance, his music was, don't go, whatever. Like,
people were still sort of cheering it, like.
Yeah, and now it's just like real generic heel music.
It's like, and even they even dulled the glass shatter as well. Yes, it's not quite as impactful. Like,
yeah,
it was a nice touch.
But
the big theme, I guess, was it was Angle and Austin, and this was the time leading up to this was Angle had done the milk.
Milkomania,
thing. Yes. Oh, I was absolutely cracking up. Coming out here in the...
My God! What is that? Woo! That's Kurt Angle, all right, but... It's a damn milk truck! Kurt Angle's driving! homogenized.
No skin, no hair. Had you seen that before?
I'd seen it, but I hadn't seen it in like well over 10 years.
What was the
line
with J.R. where it was like, the billion-dollar princess has become the Dairy Queen.
And then he gets up on the milk truck and he slams the two milk cartons together. It's like, and now he's breaking out the strong stuff. That's homogenized. J.O. was absolutely loaded. J.O.,
like, in the height of it there. Like, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, it was brilliant. So good.
And then, like, Sean Stasiak does his usual shtick where he runs at Angle. Angle just gets out of the way. J.R. is like, what an idiot. Well, so there was all that. There was the bridge stuff.
I think I saw actually on JR's podcast this week, they're covering that Raw. They're doing a watch along of the Milkomania.
What?
So you'd be as good to like.
Oh, brilliant!
Download that. Like, I think the podcast is very good. I have to say, like
I love JR and I loved his audiobook. I guess the reason I haven't listened to the podcast is I kind of figured he'd be talking about stuff from the last 15 years. You know what I mean? That I wouldn't know.
That your man picks a show, like, so there's loads of, like, from 2001, 2000, it's whatever the anniversary is, kind of, and it's a whole bunch of different topics or whatever.
Brilliant.
So, like, it's definitely, you can pick it, like, I don't listen to every episode, because sometimes the topic is WCW 1988, and I'm like, don't really have an interest in that, but the kind of, like, he does a lot of good stuff, like, he covered, it would have been 2000, I think it was... Maybe it was 2001, Fully Loaded.
Yeah.
I don't know, one of them where it was like Benoit versus The Rock or something. Like, this absolutely stacked card. And I was like, fucking hell, you forgot how much talent they had in 2000, 2001. Like,
it was mental. I only kind of regret skipping now 2000.
See, I can understand like why you did.
The McMahon-Helmsley stuff. And...
Yeah, because there was no Austin. So I can understand why you kind of did. That was when he was on the shelf with his neck injury.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was like a lot of it was like Triple H, The Rock, Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H was the main guy.
Yeah. Really. That was when he became like top heel.
I think Angle maybe was champ around that time as well. Like, but
Oh, so he was champ before, was he?
Yeah, Angle was champ leading up to WrestleMania 17, I think. You think he lost it to The Rock?
But
it was like, and who was I listening to when they're talking about Angle? And it was like, it was on Jericho's podcast. And they were talking about Kurt Angle. And he was like saying how he knew Kurt Angle was going to be the fucking the best in the business. He'd never had a wrestling match before. His first wrestling match was Survivor Series 99, I think, against Meat or Sean Stasiak.
Meat.
Yeah.
Is that who that was?
Yeah, Meat is Sean Stasiak.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely didn't know that.
Meat. And he's a weird guy. Apparently he used to leave tape recorders around the locker rooms to record people talking about him.
George Costanza style.
A galang.
Dear God.
You'll have your done.
Yesterday, but took the day off.
I think the M&M is you, George. But his first match was against Sean Stasiak, and it was like he was doing all this like mat wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
He was a babyface to start off, and halfway through the match, I don't know if it was like somebody backstage signaled it. You know, the refs have the earpiece.
Yeah.
Somebody backstage signaled it, and it was like, the fans are kind of booing him. They were like, oh, and then like he got out of the ring, picked up the mic. This is his first match. And he's like, why are you booing me? I'm an Olympic hero.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm, you know, all this. And then they were like really booing him. And even the commentary, it was like, JR was kind of putting over him, and the King was like, I don't know, I don't like this guy. He's, you know, who's he coming in here saying? And then, like, when he started doing his heel promo, the two of them switched so seamlessly. And JR was like, oh, come on. Look, listen to him talk. And he's like, no, I think he's right, JR. You
know, and like, did they anticipate that he was going to get booed? Or was this
on the fly. And Jericho was like, look at that. You see his first match. He's an absolute natural at like the wrestling.
He really
and
is.
He gets the whole
When I was watching him just in the week leading up, because in the week before Unforgiven, Austin gave him a pile driver, which I thought was banned, on the concrete.
They didn't get banned yet.
Right.
Yeah, like they do get banned. I haven't
seen one in a while, but yeah.
Good cause.
Yeah, Austin ripped up the mat outside, took it away, and it was concrete, exposed concrete, and he gave him pile driver. So Angle, it was like about a whole 10, 15 minute thing, Angle's getting put, you know, into the stretcher
job, yeah.
And all that. And then Angle comes back and he's in the neck brace and he rips it off. But like the emotion, like he literally has a tear running down his eye as he's given this promo from the top of the ramp, talking about how, like, you know, he's gonna beat him and he's gonna do everything. But like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but I remember thinking like, God, he's good.
Like, you're getting just, like the goose flesh.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah. So just in terms of talking, how he looks, how he wrestles, like everything, he's just phenomenal.
Great
really.
Gimmick, the intensity.
Yeah.
Integrity, intelligence. Is it intensity, integrity, intelligence?
Yeah, that's it.
Those are three eyes, like, yeah. Fucking, like, even that, like, worked as a heel, works as a face. Like,
I know, and I love the fact that he didn't really change his character. It's just, like, you know, when he's just a heel or a face.
Just got a bit more serious as a face, like, a bit more fiery as a face. Like, there's not, like, as much, or even, like...
Basically, he just doesn't insult the town's football team.
And I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Steelers suck.
It's damn true.
Yeah.
Should we get into it, Terry?
Yeah, let's have a look. The opening match of the card is for the WWF Tag Team Championship.
Now, I will say, before this was the national anthem, I skipped it.
It
was bad. This was the first pay-per-view after 9/11.
Well, now, I want to get into that later on. Mm-hmm, so, just,
as do I, Terry.
No.
So I kind of skipped that show, which was that SmackDown or whatever it was, which is kind of did me a favor because I was behind on my schedule of getting it watched in time for this podcast. So.
The SmackDown, they do a weird thing.
It was a whole thing, just loads of vignettes, like, and loads of talking heads.
Stephanie does a weird thing where she compares 9/11 to the government trying to convict Vince. You know, the steroid trial that they had in, like, 93. Like,
what? How is that related?
Some weird promo. It really is. It's like bizarre. Weird. It's like,
a few years ago, some people tried to destroy my family. They attacked my father's reputation. They attacked my mother's reputation. And they attacked the World Wrestling Federation. They tried to rip us apart, but all they did was make my family stronger. And that's exactly how America feels right now. Because on Tuesday, America was attacked. But America is a united nation. And together, we stand strong. I am incredibly proud to be an American citizen. And I will stand up for my rights and my freedom.
They attacked. The terrorists attacked America, like the government tried to attack my father, or something along the line, something weird like that. And
it's all Vince with the cue cards.
What are you doing, like,
off camera?
I'd say it probably was her, though, like, as well. Like, my father.
She's been great as well, though. I mean, apart from this.
I have to say, she's more like one of the best ever heels, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Vince is like the best heel they ever had, and like, she's not too far behind.
Yeah. I would agree.
Ultimate heat magnet, like, in the best possible sense.
She does. She's so confident on the mic and just out there in front of everyone. She knows what pisses off the fans, so she dials it up when she has to. Like, she's very comfortable and can just sort of riff on the fly and all that. And she's just great. Like,
I think you have to be when you're a McMahon, because Shane is kind of the same as
Shane's
well.
Good,
like,
too.
You know. Yeah,
Shane
so I think
is
like,
the whitest man. I've never noticed it before. Maybe it's because he's with Booker T, but he just comes across as like the whitest man on the planet.
I think it was the fact that we were such white teenagers that we were like, yeah, Shane was the best.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I remember I had a FUBU jersey, a FUBU hoodie, not realizing that it was like for us, by us.
I have the exact same thing happen to me. I bought a pair of baggy jeans in 2000 or whatever. They were. Yeah. And then I was like, oh.
I thought they looked cool. Like,
me too.
You know?
They were lovely jeans.
Like, I remember being in England and like my older cousin saw me wearing it. He's like, I didn't realize we had any black relatives. And I was like, what? And he was like, FUBU, for us, by us. And I was like, oh, no.
I didn't realize we had any black relatives.
Yeah. I don't know what he's supposed to be from. Luton, like just outside London.
It kind of sounded a bit South African, I'm not going to lie.
Or Quintino in Django. Was that Blick?
So we have the six-way tag team elimination match.
Four-way.
What?
It's a four-way. Tag team. So we got the Dudley boys who are the champs. You got Big Show and Spike Dudley, apparently.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. You tell me. You're watching the fucking
thing. There was an absolutely zero reason that they were there.
You have Lance Storm and WWF European Champion, The Hurricane. That's another. There we go. Again, month to month. You have to fill me in on this.
So that's a six-man title.
No, and then we got the Hardy Boys. What is he?
No, well, because Jeff was...
No.
Jeff was fighting RVD, wasn't he?
That was last one. Jericho fought RVD this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've made a fool of myself. I've watched the wrong pay-per-view. No, I'm just kidding.
But, the Hurricane was the European champ. Who did he beat for that? Like,
he beat Matt Hardy. I can't remember how it went. I don't remember. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I liked the Hurricane. I thought he was funny.
And I still like him.
Oh, he got old very quick for me. Maybe because I'm seeing him every week twice a week.
I haven't seen him in ages. I liked his little.
Yeah, I did. But Jesus, I seen what he looked like without the face paint and all that. Let's just say the face paint's an improvement.
Oh yeah, when he first came over,
when he was giving Austin his Green Hornet jersey and all this to show his thanks for leading the alliance.
But why is Lance Storm now teaming with the Hurricane? No. Has Mike Awesome been shit canned?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's not around anymore. No,
not that I can recall. Anyway, but I think a lot of it is just putting alliance members together. To be honest,
we got to put Storm with somebody. He's too good to leave off the show.
I did think Spike jumping off the Big Show was a good sort of spot.
I actually really enjoyed this match.
Yeah.
I thought the Big Show, like, they're just wasting him now.
He's wasting himself.
He looks like...
Shit?
Yeah. Like,
he looks like he can't be bothered. Like, even if you can't move around, like, which a lot of big men...
He should have been coming to the ring eating, like, a turkey leg or something like that. Like, you know, like... Yeah. And then a sandwich in his other hand, like... Thank you.
You can tell the people who are bad when they have slogans on their t-shirt that they would never say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he had one a while ago where it was just big, like the real Big Show and an arrow pointing down. Like, that's classic Big Show humor.
He used to have it, like, say in 2010 or so, he had like a t-shirt that was like, go big or get lost. And I was like, okay.
Not even or go home.
No.
Or get lost.
And go big or go home was probably trademark. Go big or get lost is the next best thing.
Go big or return to your dwelling.
Yeah. Go big or return to sender. If sender cannot be found.
Ridiculous. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty decent match. It was a good start to it.
The shenanigans of like Gregory Helms trying to choke slam the Big Show.
Oh yeah.
That was good, and like, you know, it was the start of it was what it was. I'm trying to think. Big Show chokeslammed.
I think so. I can't actually remember how it ends, if I'm being honest with you.
But then Spike Dudley got eliminated by, I think it was Matt Hardy eliminated Spike.
Yeah,
which is funny, face on face, you know.
Yeah, true.
And then
I bet they love wrestling Spike. Spike, they just throw him around like he can really take a bump because he's had to he gets he literally faced Albert I think 4 weeks in a row on Raw just because it was such a giant like, was just throwing him around the place and that was it.
I didn't like the end of this match though. Like, I liked when it got into the Hardys and the Dudleys and they just had like an extended, like it went for like 10 minutes when it got down to the last two.
Yeah.
And then the end of it was just, he did the Bubba Bomb, which is just, you know, like...
It's a
out atomic drop or whatever, kind of like, you know?
It's like a semi-finisher.
Yeah, it's a secondary move, like...
Yeah.
Whereas they'd already fucking blown their wad on the 3D, like...
I never knew that that move is called the was up, the one.
It was christened that after he started doing was up.
Have I waxed lyrical about my love of the 3D as a finisher on this podcast before?
Amazing. I've hit out of anywhere. Like.
It's the perfect tag team finishing move. Yeah. It requires both of them. It's called 3D, Dudley Death Drop. There's three D's in it. It's quick. It's just perfect. It's a perfect tag team.
What's great about it is, say, like, D-Von is in the ring and he's like, whip somebody against the rope. All you see, like, out of the corner of your eye, you'll just see like Bubba slugging under the ropes. And you're like, oh, it's coming. It's like the RKO. You exactly. Know, like that kind of like.
But it's like there's a little 2 seconds before where you just hear fans like, because they know it's coming. Like, I'm like, oh, where is he?
Yeah, there he is.
Fantastic finisher that is. But
But it was a good match. I enjoyed it. The next match I did not enjoy as much.
Is this Edge and Christian?
This is Raven and...
Didn't even make...
Perry Saturn
and Raven. I mean, what? It was 5 minutes and it was four minutes too
crowd
long.
Crowd was dead. You know what, though? When he hit his finisher... I'm not going to go on about it at all. He hit his finisher. He countered the Raven effect that used to be called the Even Flow DDT.
Oh, yeah. That's what I know it as.
Saturn countered it into... Let me clear my throat for this finisher. The three-handled moss-covered family credenza.
That's what it's called?
And he picked up the win. Yeah, it's some weird kind of suplex pinning thing. But the fact that it is called a three-handled moss-covered family credenza, I quite enjoy.
I like that. That is the best thing about the match, to be honest. I just found out about it now.
And then I found out right now.
He's gone through the whole Moppy, and Moppy was held for ransom.
Apparently Saturn has talked about how he does not remember a lot of his run in WWE. He was just on pills so much.
Really, he looks it. Yeah. His eyes look glazed over all the time, and his skin is so red.
He's such a talented... Like, when they brought in the four of them, they thought it was going to be Saturn and Benoit were going to be the two big guys, and Malenko and Guerrero were going to be the other two. And then it was because Saturn was so like unique. He had all these weird moves. He looked different, and it just
never really happened for him, did it?
Did not connect at all. Whereas Eddie and Benoit had
just
fucking
off to the races,
And Malenko is a quality wrestler as well. I think it was just they weren't putting enough time into that size at that time, you know.
He didn't have a lot of charisma, which he'd have to have. Like, that's why people like Jericho and Eddie, who are small guys, would have got over with Vince, because they have at least charisma. But Malenko doesn't. He's more of a technician. His voice sounds like he smokes 100 cigarettes a day.
You could put him with somebody that has charisma. If you let him go, whereas they, some of the matches that I've seen. I remember he had a match with Scotty Too Hotty on one of the pay-per-views. And I was like, well, what a fucking, it was just a really good, technically sound match. But that's not the business they were in 2001.
Yeah.
He'd be perfect for now. Dean Malenko's wrestling now, people would be like, oh my God.
Yeah. It would be far more suitable for what they're, because they're trying to now actually just do good matches. Not like big spectacle sort of things.
Yeah. Third match was Edge and Christian.
I will say before that, Michael Cole interviewing Angle's family was just a car crap. Why did they think that would be good?
Well, look, building up to later on. It's all building up to later on.
Sitting in that front row in his hometown.
It's a feel-good moment. And it's weird because they keep going on at the hometown, whereas normally when you're in your hometown, WWE shits on you. Like, you're in your hometown. Well, you're definitely losing, and somebody is going to,
piss on you or something.
literally, something like that.
It's funny how we both went to defecating.
Randy Orton's going to pee on you in the corner.
Randy Orton would fucking love that as well, pervert.
Of course he would.
He makes everything too sexual. I don't know what it is.
That's your thing.
It's his thing. It's his thing.
It's your thing.
Big fan of Christian's outfit. It was like a mesh red tank top and purple cacks.
I tell you what, I'm a big fan of Christian's music.
Christian!
Love it.
Christian!
At love last, it. You're on your own.
It's so out there. Even the video is all these like weird quotes coming up that would be like nothing to do with Christian.
And then even like it gets into like the opera, like
and the gold like, raining down.
That was brilliant. Look, I will say right now, I have always been a Christian Mark when he was singles, like, and like when he came back years later, I was like, he should be champ. He should be like making
one
me look he's
more match.
Yeah, 100%. Like that's all he needs. Like I've always been, and I remember even watching a Raw, just some random Raw. I think CM Punk was on commentary, and like. He was the third man on commentary. Christian was in some tag match, but he wasn't even doing anything. He was in the corner, in and out or something. He's like, Punk is just like, oh, fuck. He's like, Christian, look at him there. He's so good. And he's like, I'm like, yes. Thank you. He's not doing anything, but everything he's doing is so crisp and smooth. And like everything he's doing matters, like, you know, in his mind.
Yeah, it's all for a purpose.
Which is great. Like everything has a purpose.
Would you prefer him to Edge?
Yeah, I always did, but I have an appreciation for Edge as I got older. That like, because I wasn't really watching as much when he was doing his Rated R stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
Rated R Superstar. Like, I was watching, but not avidly. But like, as I look back now, I'm like, man, he was he went through so many like changes in character. He was the goofy comic guy, and then he became the Rated R Superstar, and then he became this kind of like ladies man who was seducing all the older women. And then he became this kind of like, at one point when he came back, like he had like a huge beard, and like he had those eyes of his are like so like bug-eyed at time, where you're like, oh, he's just insane now, he's come back. Like long hair, big, and you're
disheveled,
like, oh, he's just,
like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like he looked like he'd been like living under a bridge or something. Like
I love so that
such
look.
An appreciation for like how much he could change himself and how good all his matches. Whenever you watch an Edge match,
it's good.
Like,
yeah,
it's good. And this match was very good.
I was gonna actually say I didn't actually particularly care for this match.
No,
I didn't. It was like a Raw match or a SmackDown match. Didn't really get out of third gear for me. It didn't seem pay-per-view. It didn't seem like this is Edge versus Christian. The first, you know, Christian's turn. And by the way, the heel turn that Christian had, walloped him with a chair.
But did he hit him with the trophy as well?
He like dropped the trophy on him after he hit him with the chair, and then he gave him a concerto, like
a one man concerto.
Yeah, and it looked like he was dead. Edge was unconscious anyway, and then Christian wallops the chair while Edge is squished between two chairs, and like Edge just doesn't move at all. So it's just like Jesus.
As cringeworthy as it is watching these chair shots happen.
Yeah,
these days, because of just CTE and stuff, there is something so satisfying about hearing the thwack.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't even talk about it.
The steel on the skull.
And I didn't even mention it last week when Shane McMahon had a chair shot at SummerSlam. He had the classic, like, leaping off the
jump.
There's something. I mean, I will say, I'm glad they don't do it, but I get great satisfaction out of a good chair shot. Now, there's a limit, though. There's sometimes where I'm just like, oh, like, you know, it's just too much.
They did one there on AEW. It wasn't a chair shot, but somebody threw a chair at Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And it, well, I think
crashed off him.
He threw the wrong chair or something. The leg of the chair caught him in the forehead, and he was pumping. Like,
Jesus.
You could see, like, it was just like so if I threw a dining room chair at you, and like the corner of the leg of the chair just like fucking in the forehead, and like you're like, oh, clearly not planned.
Yeah,
like it's almost safer to hit him with one of those work chairs. Yeah. Like, you know, like.
But this match, I thought it was. I liked the fact that, you know, I actually was very surprised at the outcome of it. That Christian,
I couldn't
won,
remember
with some shenanigans, but.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who won it, so that, like, as opposed to, say, the next match, I definitely knew that it was Chronic weren't winning. But with Edge and Christian, I couldn't remember who won it, and I liked the finish that it was a low blow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You don't think Edge would, but do the two of his own brother.
Edge cannot lose the championship on a disqualification. So, yes, he might.
Don't do it, Edge. It's your own brother.
And paybacks are hell sometimes.
That's your mother's son.
Here is, here goes. And the referee disarmed me. Oh, the low blow. The referee didn't see it. That's a low blow.
Yeah. Plus, I like the fact that Heyman's now just defending Christian simply because he turned heel. Like, he's not in the alliance or anything like that. Yeah. Heyman's just saying, he's great.
Heyman's just trying to butter anybody up to come join the alliance. Mm. You know, like, we would like to say congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, to anybody. Ah, and if you're not, the alliance is always open.
There was a really weird segment. Heyman, I don't know if he was called on. You might know about this. When Austin was going to throw Angle off the when Angle was going to throw Austin off the bridge, and Deborah comes out into the middle of the ring, and she's like, please, Kurt, don't throw Stone Cold off the bridge. Like, he's not on screen or anything like that. She's just pleading with him, whatever. And then, like, so she goes on for, like, a couple of minutes just doing that. And then Heyman gets up on the apron, and he's, like, trying to say, just calm down, and it's going to be fine, and all this, right? And then I think, okay, they're going somewhere. But there was, like, 5 minutes where the camera is just panned out of the ring, and then it goes back after, and then it cuts to commercial, and then Deborah's like, I'm once again pleading with Kurt, don't, and she literally does the same thing again.
Well, what that might have been there,
they weren't at the bridge yet.
Like, no, but what it might have been there is what you're seeing is, and just from the Raw, and before it went to commercial, they might have actually been on commercial, if you get me.
Right, okay.
Like, because, say, for, like, I know from watching stuff, and now, actually, even still in AEW, it's like, we're going to commercial, but you can get us in picture, and whatever way, sometimes it doesn't go to picture, it just stays with the ring, and the commentator stop talking, but you still see the match, what's going on, as if you're there in the crowd.
But everything else kind of stops.
So I think that might have been there, okay. Where it's like, everything has stopped, you're seeing what the crowd, if you're in the audience, you're waiting there, that kind of way. That makes sense?
Yeah, that does. Yeah, I think I've seen something like that myself, or like in the UFC as well, to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But this
next match was a piece of shit.
I don't remember Chronic at all. They're these two big guys, look identical. They both look kind of like Drew McIntyre to me.
They wish they looked like Drew McIntyre, man.
Yeah, well.
But I tell you what, Stevie Richards in his
jet black hair. Did you see his hair? He looks like Dennis in Always Sunny when he dyes it jet black.
I love Stevie Richards.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he's fucking great. And like, I think the Right to Censor is a pretty fucking, you know.
I actually forgot. I think I talked about it before on this. How prominent Right to Censor were. I always thought they were like a little, you know, skit 5 minutes on a thing, but they dominated so many shows.
They were around for ages. They had the tag titles at one stage. They had the women's title. Yeah. They had like the IC title, I think.
And we were only talking about it as well. Ivory, I think, was at her absolute peak in Right to Censor. Yeah. Just even the look,
but like,
the hair
if you look
tied
at,
right
we did
back
the World Rumble 2000 a little while ago.
Yeah.
And she was doing the bikini contest, but she was like doing it under protest.
Yeah.
And then it made natural progression of her character. It was like, yes, Right to Censor. I'm wearing a button-up shirt and slacks. I'm not in, you know, skimpy clothes. You know, that like that made fucking perfect sense for her.
And I
what
think,
didn't what didn't yeah. make sense was like The Good Father or like. Val Venus, you know.
I know. Just these.
It was just, we're just going to reverse your characters for the sake of it. You know, there's no way the Godfather was going to turn into, you know. Yeah. That was such a perfect character for him. Why would you change it?
I know.
But
I was sick of him, to be honest, at the time. I hated the Godfather.
What?
He said that word for word, it would just be for about 2 years. It would be no words, no different. He would say the same words every
roll
single
that, what is it? Roll that fatty, light that daddy.
It's time once again for everybody to come aboard the whole train.
Yeah. course, like,
roll a fatty for this pimp daddy, light that blunt up and say. And he loves talking about weed. Off every time I see him on Dark Side of the Ring.
That's him. Like, yeah. That Godfather was like Charles Wright.
But of course, we always smoking weed. Like, he's always talking about this in his interviews.
I don't know if you watched the Brawl for All episode.
Yeah.
And he was like, I had a smoke. I mean, you know, it's like before you go out for a shoot boxing fight. Like,
ridiculous.
Okay, Charlie.
The Brothers of Destruction, Kane, Undertaker, in the dregs with this feud. Why are they just...
I'll tell you why that Chronic are there.
I have no recollection of Chronic.
They were WCW guys. They were big in WCW at the end of their run. But Undertaker is tight with Bryan Adams. He's one of his BSK buddies. I don't know if you know about the BSK.
BSK. It's something shit kickers?
No, it's the Bone Street Crew.
It's
Undertaker. You know the way it's like the Click?
Yeah.
And then the Undertaker and his gang are the Bone Street Crew. So it's Undertaker, so Godfather, Bryan Adams, Godfather. One of them. Yeah, I'm trying to think who else I might see here. I think Yokozuna might have been.
What a ragtag bunch!
Yeah, here Undertaker. We go. Bone Street Crew.
With a K. So
it was The Undertaker, Savio Vega, Henry Godwin, Godfather, Midian, Yokozuna, Bryan Adams, Rikishi, Paul Bearer, Mr. Fuji, and James Harrison, whoever he is.
They're welcome to them. What a bunch of losers!
But that's how he got Bryan Adams, and right, because I think Bryan Adams played like the fake Undertaker in the 90s as the big dog. Well, he was looking after his buddy here, getting him back in, because he is a shit worker.
They were both awful.
It's all in the right. If you want to test me, I'm sure you might.
What is that?
That's Parappa the Rapper. Now kick.
Parappa the Rapper. Brilliant. Brilliant. Awful, awful match though.
Yeah, really bad.
Zero reaction for Chronic when they came out. And I could it was even noticeable how bad they were. They had no business being there. I wonder how long they last, because I have no recollection of them as a kid.
I don't know how many more tag feuds these WCW titles go for, because they start unifying
towards the end of the year. I think
they start unifying the titles. They've already done it with the light heavyweight title, and who do they see as the light heavyweight champ?
X-Pac.
No, he lost it though, I think, at this stage.
I can't remember. I don't think
you know what I saw, sorry, it was that. We'll get to it. Anyway.
Okay.
Next match was RVD versus Chris Jericho for the hardcore title.
Yeah. What do you think of this one?
We still have Jericho berating Stephanie. But this match, it was a step down for me in terms of the last 2 months with RVG and Jeff Hardy. They did not have the same chemistry.
No.
They were a bit sloppy at the start.
It was a little sloppy, but...
It got into it, definitely.
And I used to really fall for it as a kid, but it seems so obvious now. You know the whole, like, when two kind of faces fight each other and they do the whole, they match each other move for move, and then they both stop and look at each other and they wait for applause sort of thing. I used to always think, they're so similar.
Yeah. Well, They did the exact same thing with Jeff Hardy last month.
Yeah.
With what I'll say about this, and I've heard Jericho talk about like fighting RVD, a lot of people talk about him being snug, you know, and as in like your kicks are real kicks, you know, like he doesn't pull them, you know what I mean? Okay. And Jericho's like, yeah, I love being in there, Rob. We just beat the shit out of each other, you know. it was good. It was, like, they brought out the ladder again, and like
there were some good sort of spots, and
it was a bit sloppy. It's Jericho is normally so smooth, but at this time in his life or in his career, I'm seeing the last couple of months, not that he's reckless, but it's just he's not as smooth as I remember him.
You think so?
You know what I mean? No, like even the last month when he was like Rhino, he was kind of like slipping all over the ropes.
Yeah.
You know,
I
like,
suppose. Yeah.
I did like he did the Whatchamajigger, the Walls of Jericho on the top of the ladder.
Yeah, I like that.
I think he did it to Benoit the year before, and it looked way better. It was the first time he did it, and they had a ladder match.
It's mad how quick Rob Van Dam like became popular since coming in. Like he came into the Alliance and was an immediate smash.
Everybody
hit.
Loved him. Like he when he was in ECW, he was doing a few shots on Raw.
Yeah.
So like he was calling himself like I think Jerry Lawler, like I think it was 97, him and Jerry Lawler had a thing where it was like he was Jerry Lawler's guy on Raw and Jerry Lawler was going over to ECW and like him showing up in ECW, they're like fucking, the crowds are going mental.
This place
old
must
man
be made out of toilet paper because this is the biggest shithole I've ever seen. I remember that.
But like the crowds go mental. This old fucker from Memphis that dressed
with
like a king.
One
what's he doing
strap
in our
over
hardcore
the thing
show? Like,
in a king outfit.
Yeah. So like, but like the whole thing was Rob Van Dam was a heel. He'd align himself with Jerry Lawler. So like the WWF fans knew of him beforehand and they were really impressed with him.
Yeah, okay.
So like it didn't surprise me that like they're like, oh yeah, Rob Van Dam's deadly. We all know who he is. We want more Rob Van Dam. Like it was a good finish, I thought, because the fucking Van Daminator.
Jesus, the kick, he proper connected with that chair, like
unbelievable. Like
I'm a big fan.
And what was Jericho was like going to? Was Jericho going to hit Stephanie with the chair?
Yeah,
was it?
Stephanie grabbed,
swung it like.
Yeah, he did. I'm a big fan of the 5-star frog splash that
love
RVD
it.
Does, particularly the little bounce off them that he does, and I'd say that actually helps them in terms of like softening the blow of actually doing it. But he lands on them and bounces, does a little tumble over them, and then
he's always holding
his
ribs. That was a great.
It always
seems
very believable.
Like if you're talking frog splashes, there's three different types that I think are the pinnacle ones. There's Eddie's frog splash.
Yeah, Eddie's very straight like an arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Eddie's one though, but he does the, you know, like in and out, you know, that thing. There is Rob Van Dam's one who goes sideways, and then there is, and I
go
tell
on.
You what, it might be my favorite one of the lot.
Who?
It's the money shot, Andy, the big Valboski.
Oh yeah, but see, I don't
like
think,
such
I don't,
technique.
I love.
It's not a frog splash.
Yeah,
though,
I think
guess,
they have to do the little.
It's just
motion.
The big splash off the top. But
the
Jesus
money
Christ.
Shot.
Yeah, the size of Val Venus. And just like, the 100%.
It's like,
the air.
It kind of reminds me of like Seth Rogen in Pineapple Express. You know when he jumps off that big thing?
Yeah.
And he's just like gliding
the wires,
in the air for ages.
Like,
yeah. It's like that.
So it's like, it looks like he's attached by wires, but he's definitely not. Like, you know.
I love Val Venus.
I mean, Kevin Owens is a good, he calls it the bullfrog splash. He does a good frog splash. A bigger guy doing a splash off the top rope is always impressive for me. Like,
yeah, big time. Yeah.
But like Val Venus, like he was a big, burly guy, and yet that hang time he got from the frog, from his splash was fucking unreal. Like,
that's why they call it.
People do that. Like,
they're scared. Scared to take high risks. plus I always used to think how great it was that it was called the money shot. I remember even appreciating that at 13, being like, it's he's actually jumping off the top rope, like he's shooting out money shot.
Oh Andy, please,
you get it?
No, I get it.
Robert Lewandowski, get it?
Lewandowski, I say Lewandowski.
Can I talk to you about the handicap match that came next?
Yeah,
the
I
Rock
did. I look,
and Booker
I
T
enjoyed
and Shane.
This match more than I enjoyed last one.
This match, I would say, I really enjoyed it too. Definitely more than the last one. I'd say it was as good as it could be.
Yeah, loads of gaga in it.
Like, gaga.
As in, like, Test runs down for some reason, and then Bradshaw runs down chasing Test.
I love there's a bunch of like refs and stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Like, and like one of the refs,
Kyoto and Patrick were like going at it, and then Kyoto gets fucking clobbered again. Like.
I know. And then, but then, like when Kyoto came out, I just remember laughing when like he, like, Nick Patrick's been, like, screwing them the whole time, and JR is like, why isn't that a disqualification?
Yeah, this sort of
stuff. And, like, Patrick's letting it go. And then when Kyoto comes out, I think Shane is about to pin The Rock. Kyoto just pulls him out, like, outside the ring, and just Heyman is like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it was like Patrick was trying to ref it, like, kind of down the middle-ish, and then it was just like, okay, anything that the Alliance are doing, just let it go. Like,
it's weird. He turns it on and off, like, Patrick.
Well, I think he tried. It's as if he's trying to keep the sense of, like, yeah, no, it's you know, it's all good. It's all, I'm doing it down the middle, but then it's very much like,
it was quite well done because he's acting like a ref the whole time. Still, he's not acting like a heel ref. It's just he's not making the calls.
And then, Hebner came down.
Ebner came down and made the count. This was a very good match. Shane, I normally like to see a bit more high spots from Shane.
Did he do an elbow drop or something off the top?
I think he did on the Raw before. There was nothing going through that
table. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of stuff, like the whole Booker T thing. They were actually making Booker T kind of like mental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just there in the back, like counting his fingers, like, Six times.
But, like, just like they showed in the video package, like, the what he was doing to The Rock, and, like, he, like, took out the Big Show or something like that. Like,
yeah, that was very bad taste The Rock had. Like, he had, like, a little person out dressed as Booker T.
Yeah,
he's like, we have Booker T here. And it was like, and first of all, it was just, it really wasn't funny. It was just a little guy just saying, suck it, all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, The Rock, I don't even think he even really knew what, it wasn't that comfortable with it. And then, like, Lance Storm comes out, of course, and he's like, but, like, they just actively just call him just, like, a midget and not think about it. Like, you know, it's like, he had a midget, JR, or, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's like, they're just saying it, like, so matter-of-factly.
Yeah. It was a good match, though. I enjoyed it, you know. The Rock and Booker T have good chemistry together, so, like, you know,
The Rock ended up with the old Rock Bottom.
And the fact that it was like The Rock was taking on the two of them, he didn't completely squash the two of them, but there was times where he was like hulking up, for lack of a better term. Yeah. Like, you know,
I'm a fan, as you know, of quick finishers, as I think we all are, Terry. But I'm a big fan of the Rock Bottom, where he's like ducking a punch and straight, he just comes straight up into it. Yeah, I love that. And there's no, like, what I don't like are the ones, like, I'll tell you a finisher I can't stand. Matt Hardy's Twist of Fate. Because, first of all, zero passion. He'll just stick one finger in the air and he'll be like, oh! And then there's, like, and like again, another, like, 3-4 seconds before he'll actually do anything. Like, just pop your head out there.
I can understand that if, like there used to be, like, ones where, like, somebody is dead on the ground and they pick them up and they're like, oh, he's already, like, you know, he's helpless, don't do it, like that kind of, like, whereas Matt Hardy's one is supposed to be, like, really quick,
you have ample time.
When Jeff did the Twist of Fate, he would always just do it quite rapidly,
like an RKO,
it's nothing like an RKO, man.
Nothing is.
Anyway, next match before we get to the main event was a bit of a filler. It was Rhino versus Tajiri.
Bit of a palate cleanser there.
Yeah, it was what they call a let me up match. We go pee before the main event.
I love these terms. There was a lot of gaga. It was a let me up match.
It's a gaga.
What did you think? Can I ask just before this, when Stacey Keibler at WWF New York, the most bizarre, she was just saying, like, so I can't remember how she tied it together, but it's like, here's a clip of me in the bath shaving my legs.
No, she was like rubbing some guy's stubble. Like, I love a clean shave. And it's just her shaving her legs.
And then it's like, what do you think of that, New York? And then they just cut back to the show. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tajiri Rhino, I don't have much to say on it, to be honest.
My whole thing was, oh, now Rhino is WCW champion. Who did he win that off? You know, Booker T had it last.
Rhino's WCW champion.
WCW United States champion.
Okay,
he's US champ. They're throwing their titles around all over the place.
They are. Now, Tajiri is in a bit of a feud, not a feud, he's in an angle with Tori Wilson.
Tori, yes.
Who has boyfriend taken, and quite girlfriend a, taken quite a liking to them. To him. The only thing I noticed about Tori Wilson, we were only saying it when we were watching it, is she's a different person every week. She comes out, I don't know what her style is. Like, one time she's wearing like jeans and a top, the next she's like tarted up, the next she's all neon, the next is, I mean,
I tell you, the best Tori Wilson storyline was
her and
Dawn Marie were having a feud. Dawn Marie seduced and married Tori Wilson's father, Al Wilson. So she became stepmother, and then they were kind of like having an affair, Tori and Dawn. Also, Al Wilson died having sex with Dawn Marie. So there's a lot of stuff going on. It was great. They had a funeral for him and all. Like,
brilliant. Proper wrestling.
It was like proper like 2002 filled.
Well, listen, what did you think of the main event, Terry?
Now, we're getting into it here. Stone Cold and Kurt Angle.
This is basically what the pay-per-view is all about.
Building to, 100%. And they're, a lot of it is they're doing the job on Angle's neck, you know. Yeah. And actually, what I was like, the first thing in it, I love the character work from Austin here. I was like, what is he doing? Are they like getting their timing off or something where he was doing those kicks? But he wasn't quite throwing the kicks in at the start. Did you notice that?
I did, I think. If I'm so,
like,
thinking.
I was like, are they, like, is he supposed to be like kicking him and Kurt's supposed to be going down, or like, why is, and he's not connecting with them? And then it was like, JR also doing a great job on commentary. He's like, Austin's hesitating.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to go for those kicks. He's gonna get caught in the ankle. And I was like, that's fucking great. Ah, like little things they're throwing in there.
Actually, totally
like,
missed that.
They're like, he never hesitates. He would always just go for it. Whereas at the start, I was like, what? Like, are they actually off? It's like, oh no, like he's doing this thing where,
oh, very good.
He's afraid to go for the kick because he's been putting the ankle lock so often recently.
Now, I'll be honest, I went to the toilet at the end of the Tajiri match, and it was number two, so I missed the first couple of minutes of the Austin.
It's not live. You can pause it.
No, because this was last night, and I was very close to going to sleep. And I was like, all right, I have to do a show. I was like, just keep it going. Like, I'll never make it if you pause it.
So that was at the start of it there.
It was kind of like a bit of a role reversal, I thought, because for a long period, Angle was really beating up Austin. And I know there tends to be back and forth in a lot of matches, but I kind of found, because the last match was Austin beating up on Angle and Austin being unhinged and all this, and like, if you like, even judging from the Raw or the SmackDown on the week before, like, Angle's like fired right up for this, and it's in his hometown, and
so like Kurt won with the ankle lock in the end.
I was very surprised. Now cards on the table. I fell asleep initially, and then I woke up literally as Austin's tapping, so I rewound it to watch it again, and I fell asleep again before it got to Austin. I was really hanging on. I had to get it watched. But I remember thinking through with my haze of how mad it was to see Austin just tap clean.
Well, like, now Andy, they do it quite well if you go back. So Austin gets his hand under the bottom rope and grabs the ring apron.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's a rope break, my friend.
Yeah, so what's...
But nobody called it. But, like, that... In that... Like, you don't have to grab the rope. If you get under the rope and grab the apron...
Get to there.
You're out. But they didn't pick up on it. They, you know, so it kind of makes sense going forward that he was like, I'm in the ropes, but I can't hold on any longer. Like,
and does
you know,
he bring that up?
I'm sure mad.
He so it's not
the whole reason they put the title on Angle was because September 11 just happened, and it was like they needed a feel good moment.
Right.
They needed, you know,
they dialed up his Americanism in the last couple
of weeks.
That
like everybody was out in the ring lifting him on his shoulders at the end. You know,
oh, was
like,
it? Jeez, I completely missed that.
Came, like the Rock came out, the whole WWF locker room came out and celebrated with him on the shoulders, giving him.
Oh,
know.
Really? Jesus, I missed that altogether. Jesus,
yeah, I would love that. That's the whole up. Like this. This is the iconic thing.
Brilliant.
Where it's like Angle has brought it home, America.
A win for yes. America, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah, America, yeah. Yes, like that kind of thing. He's got it! We're our new champion!
So do you think that would have happened if it wasn't for 9/11?
No, I don't think so.
Mm, I was thinking the same thing.
I don't think so. So yeah. I don't know, because you'll see, I think by the next pay-per-view, he's not champ anymore. Sorry to spoil it for you, yeah.
Oh, well, I look forward to that interesting Raw or SmackDown. I love when a title changes hands on Raw.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Like,
yeah.
It would never happen these days.
No chance.
Yeah. But I thought the match was good. Like, I liked the fact that like Angle hit the stunner and Austin hit the Angle Slam, but none of them could either really get finishers.
I just quite liked. I found it, dare I say, somewhat shocking that Austin tapped out. I was just like, oh shit!
But he's a heel.
Yeah, and he had gone full heel at this point, with his hesitating with the kicks, with him crying on the bridge, with him,
crying.
And he's like losing the alliance. Like, anyone got a problem with what I did? Like, he's always addressing them. Like, I did it for you. I did it for the alliance and all this, and no one's making eye contact with him. Like the week after he cries and all, it's like, you got something to say? And he's just getting in everyone's face, like proper, like getting in some of the guy's face and like pushing them over furniture just by leaning.
That's so good though. Yeah, like,
such
great,
a bully. Like,
that's great bully. And he had it
was Tori Wilson he had out on SmackDown, where because like she's going for
she's
Tajiri.
Alliance, isn't she?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing with Tori and Tajiri. It's like she's Alliance, he's doing it.
Yeah, and he was like proper laying it right on of like, you know, like look at you. He's like, you look like trash and all this sort of stuff. Like, get over here. What are you, stupid? And I just proper like laying it. And Tori's like shaking and crying and all this sort of stuff. Like, he's proper bully mode here.
Great.
But
is Sesame Boy? Has that happened yet?
What?
Is he like, are you Sesame Boy?
No, that hasn't happened yet. I look forward to that one. But altogether, I thought it was decent. I thought SummerSlam was better.
Yeah, 100%.
But I enjoyed it now, I have to say. Especially the last
I am matches. Enjoying, like, it's like I watched it Sunday afternoon or something, you know, I had it on.
It's a good time to watch.
It's 2 hours 40, you know, for a wrestling show. I don't know myself when it's that, as opposed to like a fucking 4 hour slog.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, or 8 hour WrestleMania these days.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. 8 hours, come on.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, shall we get our plugs in?
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you want to find more riveting Simpsons content, you can catch
Simpsons.
Us at Put It In H Podcast on Twitter and on Instagram. All the links to all the good stuff is on our Instagram feed. And you can email us, putitinhpod@gmail.com.
By the good stuff, he means our Patreon content. Now, if you want to go over to patreon.com/putitinhpod.
/putitinh.
You can get access to all of our bonus stuff. You're getting 4 extra episodes a month.
Mm-hmm. Basically a lot more like this.
Yeah. We're getting our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where our first mini-series is on the MCU. I'm trying to teach Andy What's So Great About the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we've had some successes, and we've had some less
catastrophic failures.
Well, his words, not mine, folks. We also give you 2 bonus episodes per month. We've done stuff on the Royal Rumble. We've done stuff on The Last Dance. We've done
a bunch of music episodes where we've basically tried to get each other into type of music that we like. So I've given Terry emo, I've given him metal, and I think another possibly
six games.
Terry gave me Flight of the Conchords, he gave me original movie ones, and he gave me a hair metal one, which we'll be recording literally after this one.
Yes!
Terry, I've got a lot to say about that
one. I'm excited.
So, yes, you can find us there.
If you look, and that's all for the low, low price of $5 a month. Some good stuff there, folks.
What else are you spending on?
Yeah, but if you can't afford the $5 a month, this free podcast that you're getting here... You can do me a favor. Do me a personal favor.
Do Terry a favor, people.
Will you do me a personal favor?
Do him a favor. He's giving you free content. You mugs.
Would you give me 5 stars? Would you give me a review?
Please, give him a review, will you?
Please, give me a review.
I'm dying here.
For 3 months, please. Can I put my trench coat in your closet, Andy?
Just for a couple of months.
Jerry, please.
You know what? Either way, whether you're on the Patreon, whether you're just listening here, we appreciate you.
Yeah, we love you guys out there, and thank you for your support.
Yes, and I guess nothing else left to say except I don't have anything.
Goodbye. I'll step in here. Bon appetit.
Oh, I like the bone. I mean, no, I don't like the bone.